Thank you, Guy, and thank you everyone for being here. The time is lunchtime, and the space usually is at a restaurant. But in the interest of time and space sampling, we are here. So this is a special time to talk about time-space venue-based sampling of migrant populations. I have put my slides as a handout on APHA website, so please feel free to print that out if it accommodates your needs. And in the interest of disclosures, there is nothing I can disclose in terms of a financial conflict. Time-space sampling has been used since the early 1990s with people who have been at risk for HIV or STDs. And recently, there has been interest in using this methodology, sampling methodology, for sampling people who are quote-unquote classified as hidden. So this is an application and adaptation of this sampling methodology from one population to the other, building on the experience that researchers and public health providers have accumulated during the past 30 years. By definition, time-space sampling is a probability-based sampling method of defined populations who usually congregate at specific locations and times. Example, a gym, a football, soccer, a street corner on Tuesday from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the evening. And hence, we have this term for this sampling methodology. Hidden populations are referred to as hidden from a statistical and sociological perspective, and we are going to see how we can apply this methodology from populations at risk for bloodborne infections and sexually transmitted infections to migrants when you are studying different topics and disciplines. So my overall goal is to describe this this methodology and its application in terms of its procedures, advantages, and disadvantages. Understand its main aspects and ways we can use it to sample migrant populations, understand its strengths, limitations, and how to use it, when to use it, and how to make sure we are adhering to human subjects' protections. Since the early 1990s and with the advent of HIV in the 1980s, researchers and providers working in HIV prevention and control have focused on how best to sample people at risk for these infections and still get results that are generalizable to that population. Often simple or stratified random sampling is used when you are able to construct sampling frames that lists the names of the individual members of the target population. However, with hidden populations, including migrant populations, it's not possible to have a list that lists the names of individual members that allow us to construct a sampling frame from which we can have a random or stratified sample. Migrant populations, as we may know, they are linked through different variables. Could be nationality, could be place of birth, country of origin, race, ethnicity, or other common experiences. By these characteristics, we think that time-space sampling can be a useful methodology to use with migrant populations. There are four main stages for going ahead and implementing time-space sampling, the first being the formative stage, the second, the preparatory stage, third, the actual sampling, and fourth, the analytic phase. In the first phase, in the formative phase, we try to collect information on the target population so we have a better understanding of the demographics and how best to interact with them. We collect ethnographic data, such as country of birth, age distribution. We interview key informants who may know about the target population. and analyze some indicator data that will give us some indication of their characteristics using existing secondary data sources. The formative phase will allow us to know where the migrant population congregates, where are the geographic areas, or where are the venues that we may find them, so we can go and interview them. Also, it gives us an opportunity to understand the contextual information that may make it easier or difficult to intercept different migrant members and see whether they are willing to buy in into our project and participate in our surveys. So by definition, we need to identify all the venues where the migrant population congregates so we can prepare a monthly sampling frame. We define a venue as any place where the target population can be found. An example could be a community organization, a street location, markets, bars, cafes, beaches, parks, football parks, etc. Project staff need to go to all these venues to determine the most advantageous time to find this population in terms of which day is best and which time period is best. Is it Thursday, 9 o'clock in the morning to 12 noon, or is it Thursday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 6 o'clock? So which is the most advantageous? Usually a 4 time period is chosen for doing the interviews. And as such, we refer to them as a venue daytime period. So Thursday, 9 o'clock in the morning to 12 noon is what we refer to as the venue daytime period. And a list of these VDTs makes the sampling frame. Here are some examples of venues. It could be a park, it could be a street, it could be a cafe shop, a barber shop, street corner, sports places, community organizations, consulates, other places. In the preparatory phase, the staff count all the attendees at these potential venues where the target population can be found. Do we have 15 people at that venue? Do we have 20? Do we have 2? Do we have 4? And that's usually referred to as primary enumeration. When it is not possible to have a good idea of the number of people congregating in that venue at that specific time, staff can conduct what we refer to as brief interviews, and we call them secondary enumeration to get an idea of the number of people who belong to our target population. So in this phase, data collection instruments are important, and here is a better indication of such data. In terms of venue attendance, let us say barbershop X, park Y, etc. For each of these venues, we get an idea of the age distribution, younger, older population congregating there, the mix of male and female attending. Do we have any safety issues if we were to send our staff there? Do we need to get approval from the owner, or is it an open venue? Are there issues we need to be concerned about when we want to conduct the data? Is it a crowded avenue, or is it easy to collect biologic data as well? We collect the data in terms of having an idea of the venue, primary or secondary. Did we get a count, or did we interview a few people to get an idea if the target population is there? During half an hour, for example, on a specific day, how many people were there? How many of these people or the percentage that could be eligible? In a 4-hour period on a specific day, can we get around 8 people or more who will provide us with the data once we use our questionnaire? Is it a safe venue? Is it suitable? Is that venue or VDT highly attended during a particular day and time? Once we are done with those preparatory phases, the actual sampling happens. So the first two phases are really important to get us to know how to do it and how to do it successfully to the extent possible. In the sampling phase, we can use a two-stage process. First, we construct a list of those VDTs, that's our sampling frame, which will allow us to recruit the participants to obtain our desired sample size that was obtained before we start our recruitment. The monthly sampling frame could contain approximately 10 to 14 sampling events, like the staff would go out to the field around 10 to 14 times a month. And those times of VDTs are selected randomly, or they can be selected in a stratified way within clinical strata, business strata, geographic strata. Once we select the venues, we select the daytime periods in a random fashion, and then the staff starts selecting the participants at that venue randomly and intercept them for data collection using the questionnaire used for the project. Obviously, that needs to happen after consenting the person who was intercepted and screening them to see that they are indeed eligible for participation. That brings us to the last phase of the sampling process. Having collected the data, we need to analyze our data. Statistical analysis of the data is important in terms of incorporating weights, because some people who visit some of these venues more frequently have a higher chance of being selected into the sample, while others may not. And this is important because we need to see that the time-space sampling does indeed approximate a probability-based sample. That depends on different factors, including that each venue has a known chance of being selected, and that the members of the target population indeed do attend the venue sampled. And there is no bias in selection, the venue DT times or the participants. As part of the data collection and sampling phase, we can conduct the analytic phase more properly if data were collected on participation rates and on data and reasons for refusals. Incentives can help reduce refusals and reduce biases in participation rates. So determining the frequency of attendance of respondents at all venues in the sampling frame is important in the analytic phase in terms of applying the weights. The weights are usually the inverse to the participant selection probability, with smaller weights given to frequent attendees of the VDTs and larger weights to infrequent attendees of these venues at the specific days and times that were used. Trying to summarize time and space sampling in terms of its advantages, we are able, with using time space sampling, to identify venues where the target migrant population congregates, obtain a large sample, derive population estimates from the data if the data were collected and analyzed accordingly. Sampling is reproducible over time in the same project if it is a multi-year project, or if you are using multi-year and multi-site projects, we can reproduce time-space sampling. Also, those venues can be used for delivery of services if that's one indication and one goal of the project. Ethnographic data collected during the first phase could be also important in addition to sampling purposes to help us understand the target population and their needs. In terms of disadvantages or challenges, if some members of the target population do not frequent those venues, we need to pay attention to whether there are selection biases and how that affects our results. Time-space sampling is based on the assumption that we identify all the venues and all the times where the target population attends so that we have reduced bias in our results. If this is properly conducted, it needs staff and time. And individual respondents' frequency of venue attendance is important to be captured, so it could be utilized in the analytic phase in terms of constructing of weights. As we consider time-space sampling of migrant populations, whether the migrant populations are interviewed here in the U.S. domestically or in projects overseas, it's important to understand that the migrant populations are not a homogeneous population. However, TSS can be used with different subgroups of migrant populations, including immigrants, refugees, temporary workers, mobile populations, persons displaced because of war, famine, or other political or social reasons. Venues can be widely defined to include where the migrants live or work, including street corners, construction sites, or home improvement sites. There have been a lot of studies conducted using time-space sampling with people at risk for HIV and STDs, and have listed around 14 references at the end of this presentation. We have very few conducted with migrant populations, and I've listed them as well. So basically, to have good sampling techniques of migrant populations, we need to understand the factors that affect their lives and their participation so we can get good buy-in and understand the vulnerable economic and social position of the migrant populations. And that leads us to have strong protections for their participation in research projects. So logistical, regulatory, legal, and ethical considerations affect our projects. It's important to have staff well-trained and to reflect that in the staff that interview the migrant populations, so they do not feel coerced or pressured to participate in our projects. So in conclusion, time-space sampling can be successful in reaching hidden migrant populations. This sampling methodology has its advantages and disadvantages or challenges. So adequate planning is important, including understanding the factors that affect such sampling methodology, ranging from formative research to using of weights and culturally competent staff. Here are some references. I leave them with you. And this presentation is going to appear as a book chapter that's going to be published as a book by University of California in a few months that focuses on research methods with migrant populations. So hopefully this has given you some appetite level information that can help with different projects you are working on. Thank you.